Hi everyone, it's Unique Drabin O'Brien, and it's time for the reading excerpt of the month, which means it's basically time for the last few hours of what could legally be defined as the month. Hey, here we are. Boy oh boy, man, this is going to be a short excerpt, and it's because I love this book so goddamn much. I think it is so strange, and I think one of the elements of it that's so strong is that everything builds on the other things. It's such an interesting braided book of so many different pieces, and those pieces begin immediately in the first chapter. So normally I would read and pull. I've been trying to excerpt this thing for so goddamn long for Tell the Library. All of the writing from Jenny Offal, the author, I adore it, but it's so hard to do it out of context because it's so about like how all the pieces come together. And look, this book takes like a day to read. This is a perfect like airplane book, road trip book, going on a bus. Like you will knock this thing out. So I just recommend it. I just say, pick up the damn thing. But if you need convincing, here's the very beginning of chapter one. And if it seems like it's maybe headed somewhere you might want to go, by all means, get your own copy. In the morning, the one who is mostly enlightened comes in. There are stages, and she's in the second to last, she thinks. This stage can be described only by a Japanese word. Bucket of black paint, it means. I spend some time pulling books for the doomed adjunct. He's been working on his dissertation for 11 years. I give him reams of copy paper, binder clips, and pens. He is writing about a philosopher I have never heard of. He is minor, but instrumental, he told me. Minor, but instrumental. But last night, his wife put a piece of paper on the fridge. Is what you're doing right now making money? It said. The man in the shabby suit does not want his fines lowered. He is pleased to contribute to our institution. The blonde girl, whose nails are bitten to the quick, stops by after lunch and leaves with a purse full of toilet paper. I brave a theory about vaccinations and another about late capitalism. Do you ever wish you were 30 again? Asks the lonely heart engineer. No, never, I say. I tell him that old joke about going backward. We don't serve time travelers here. A time traveler walks into a bar. On the way home, I pass the lady who sells whirling things. Sometimes when the students are really stoned, they'll buy them. No takers today, she says. I pick out one for Eli. It's blue and white, but blurs to blue in the wind. Don't forget quarters, I remember. At the bodega, Mohan gives me a roll of them. I admire his new cat, but he tells me it has just wandered in. He will keep it, though, because his wife no longer loves him. I wish you were a real shrink, my husband says. Then we'd be rich. Henry's late. And this after I took a car service, so I wouldn't be. When I finally spot him, he's drenched. No coat, no umbrella. He stops at the corner, gives change to the woman in the trash bag poncho. My brother told me once that he missed drugs because they made the world stop calling to him. Fair enough, I said. We were at the supermarket. All around us, things tried to announce their true nature, but their radiance was faint and fainter still beneath the terrible music. I tried to get him warmed up quickly. Soup, coffee. He looks good, I think. Clear-eyed. The waitress makes a new pot, flirts with him. People used to stop my mother on the street. What a waste, they'd say. Eyelashes like that on a boy. So now we have extra bread. I eat three pieces while my brother tells me a story about his NA meeting. A woman stood up and started ranting about antidepressants. What upset her most was that people were not disposing of them properly. They tested worms in the city sewers and found they contained high concentrations of Paxil and Prozac. When birds ate these worms, they stayed closer to home, made more elaborate nests, but appeared unmotivated to mate. But were they happier? I asked him. Did they get more done in a given day? The window in our bedroom is open.
You can see the moon if you lean out and crane your neck. The Greeks thought it was the only heavenly object similar to Earth. Plants and animals 15 times stronger than our own inhabited it. My son comes in to show me something. It looks like a pack of gum, but it's really a trick. When you try to take a piece, a metal spring snaps down on your finger. It hurts more than you think, he warns me. Ow. I tell him to look out the window. That's a waxing crescent, Eli says. He knows as much now about the moon as he ever will, I suspect. At his old school, they taught him a song to remember all its phases, something he'll sing for us at dinner, but only if we do not request it. The moon will be fine, I think. No one's worrying about the moon.
And we'll stop there. But Jenny Offal certainly doesn't. She manages to just weave together this book that's both like this very like impressionist portrait of anxiety and kind of middle-aged burnout and climate anxiety and fearing the end of the world. It's just, I don't know, man. It's a magic kind of book. It's a different kind of book. And it excited me a lot to read it. So I recommend you do the same. But if it really seems like it's not your speed, hang out. And in a week, I'll be talking about some new book, as is my fashion. See you then.